Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Mark Schultz is an Olympic and two-time world champion freestyle wrestler and a distinguished member of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. He and his older brother, Dave Schultz, also a wrestler, were noted for both winning gold medals in wrestling in the same Olympics in 1984. The Schultzes were the only brother pair to win both world and Olympic championships. The remarkable story of Mark Schultz is portrayed by Channing Tatum in the new film Foxcatcher. An exclusive preview of the film will be shown on Sunday, December 14th at 12 o'clock at the Spectrum Theater in Albany, where a portion of the proceeds will benefit the Journeyman Wrestling Club. Mark Schultz will be on hand for a Q&A following the screening. He'll also be talking about his book, Foxcatcher, The True Story of My Brother's Murder, John DuPont's Madness, and the quest for Olympic gold. It's a great pleasure to welcome Mark Schultz to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's good to be here, Joe.
Very nice to have you with us. At what point did you decide you wanted to tell the story, that you wanted to dig deep and learn more about the story?
1997. Well, in 1996, I won the UFC, ended my career with a victory like I always wanted. It's kind of funny because I went into a cage and won, and won my happiness back. And DuPont went into a cage and died a loser.
So it's at that point that you knew you wanted to tell the story.
It was at the point after I won the UFC. I was so happy that I ended my career on a victory that it gave me the energy to write it and to want to write it. And I thought, you know, my life has been so extreme and nobody knows what I did. So I'm going to at least tell my kids what I did. So I sat down and wrote it in about 2 weeks. And nothing really happened with it. And then I sent it around to different friends and wrestlers. One of the wrestlers on my team, he sent it to his brother, who was getting his MBA in business administration at Columbia University. And he liked it so much, he wanted to try to get it. He thought he could get it turned into a movie. And I thought, okay, so we signed an agreement, and in 2006, it got into the hands of Bennett Miller, who's an Academy Award-nominated director and the best director at the Cannes Film Festival this year for Foxcatcher. And we spent the next 8 years turning it into a movie, into a screenplay.
Foxcatcher is, of course, Foxcatcher Farm Estate in Pennsylvania. It is where you went and your brother went to train with John DuPont. On January 26th, the 1996, as you alluded to, your brother was shot in the back by John DuPont. You write in the book about how ultimately, the financial struggles you were having, the personal struggles you were having, gave you really no choice but to join forces with John DuPont. How much did you know about him, and how much were you concerned going into the relationship with him? Because he was an eccentric guy.
Well, I got a call out of the blue from a doctor at Stanford. He was like the chief surgeon of some department. And he was basically vouching for DuPont, saying that he would be calling me soon. He didn't tell me what it was about. And then DuPont called me. You know, I didn't know him from Adam. And I just thought, it didn't surprise me that he was creating a wrestling team, because if I had all the money in the world like he did, that's probably what I would do. So then he flew me out to Foxcatcher, and took me around the Villanova program. And I became the assistant coach of Villanova and joined Team Foxcatcher at the same time. But it was a very, he was such an unstable person. And he was just so odd. And, you know, he was always drunk or on drugs. And it became so unmanageable after a while, I had to leave. But I was there for 2 years. But it was kind of like a frog being slowly boiled in water. You know, everything happened so gradually. You know, there wasn't like one big step to, you know, to alarm me to, you know, how dangerous he was. Nobody knew he was going to be dangerous. Nobody thought he would trade living on an 800-acre estate in a James Madison Montpelier replica mansion for an 8x10 cell the rest of his life. But he definitely was not insane, and the court agreed with me. But he was paranoid schizophrenic. He was mentally ill. But that, I think, the drugs and alcohol, I think he did it to himself, a lot of it to himself, because he was taking a lot of drugs and alcohol. And he was so egotistical and arrogant. You know, I just think he was jealous of my brother and, you know, money can buy only so many things, but it can't buy pride. I mean, can't buy self-confidence, can't buy pride, it can't buy love. All the most important things in life, it can't buy. And, you know, he tried to buy them anyway and failed.
You write about this in the book, but what kind of conversations did you and your brother have about him and his odd behavior? Because you were both coming at it from a really looking at it from different ways, because you were trying to get out.
Yeah, once I left, I didn't want anything to do with him again. Dave wanted to continue competing. I was so sick of wrestling because I was so poor. And I actually lost in the 88 Olympics as a protest to the whole system, to DuPont, to USA Wrestling, to everything. And I say that in my book. But Dave, and I transferred from wrestling to jiu-jitsu right before I fought in the UFC. And that was no holds barred rules, no eye gouging, no biting, everything else was legal. Oh, no kicking with shoes on if you decided to wear shoes, which I did. But Dave wanted to keep wrestling and fulfill his potential. And he stayed there for a lot longer, and he was DuPont's pretty much just his closest defender, you know, when it came to dealing with the outside world. It was almost like a cult, you know. It was geographically separated from the outside world with an actual gate. We were, you know, the United States of America did not honor us. They did not support us. They, you know, and we were left to our own. And I was fired from Stanford, and I had nowhere to go. I was going to join the military, but I grew up in the Vietnam era where soldiers were coming back missing arms and legs and mentally messed up. I could have gone on welfare, but I wasn't raised that way. Or I could quit wrestling, go work for UPS, or I could go wrestle for DuPont at Foxcatcher. But nobody else in the country was supporting us or paying us to compete in wrestling. As a matter of fact, USA Wrestling threatened to take away my amateur status the year they let the NBA All-Stars into the Olympics. And they threatened me to take away my amateur status because I was selling videotapes of myself wrestling in the Olympics for $20 a piece at these clinics that I would have to set up on my own to try to make enough money to eat. I mean, it was practically impossible. They were destroying the wrestlers that were winning for the United States. And but if we managed to somehow miraculously win, they would turn around and take credit for it. It was an impossible situation. It was totally unworkable, unmanageable. And I told Dave when he went to Foxcatcher, I said, listen, get it in writing. because DuPont will try to manipulate you. And I made a deal with DuPont before I left. I said, well, before I went there in the first place, I said, you will never pay me or Dave less than each other. You will never give us one title that is, or position that is higher than the other. So for a long time, Dave was making money because I was there. He was a double dipping. He was making a salary at Wisconsin, and the Fox Catcher was paying him like $40,000 a year. And when Dave left Wisconsin and went to Fox Catcher, and I left Fox Catcher, Dave was making like $40,000 a year, and so was I. I didn't have any other job. I wasn't double dipping at the time until I went to BYU. And then, of course, DuPont committed murder and everything stopped. The money stopped.
You write in the...
It was all about money. It was just money. I wasn't looking for a father figure, a mentor, an example, a role model. It was just money, plain and simple. It was a business deal. I just wanted a place to train and survive. That's it.
You were trying to survive, and you were there because you were trying to make a living. And do you think there were different forces at work for your brother, that it was more than just money?
Well, you know, DuPont was, he was an odd character. He was, we didn't think he was going to be a murderer, you know, and actually, DuPont was so odd. He would do funny things. He was actually kind of a funny, you know, I mean, it was like comic being around him because he was so funny. He didn't try to be, but just some of the dumb stuff he did was so funny. Like one day he comes out of the swimming pool of Villanova, puts on the Wildcat, you know, the Villanova Wildcats, the mascot. He puts on the head of the Wildcat. He comes into the wrestling office. He's dripping wet, wearing his head. He's on his hands and knees, and he's crawling around the wrestling office going, I'm going to get you. It's just, he's just so odd, you know. It was entertaining. But, and Steve Carell comes across, he gets that across in his portrayal of DuPont, which I thought was genius. I don't know how they, I mean, it was, Carell's, you know, he's known as being a comic actor. And he gets that across.
And you were portrayed by Channing Tatum. What do you make of that portrayal? And what? And I know you were on the set a lot, and you had input. They used you during the making of the film. So, what is that like to see your wife, and especially such a painful moment, portrayed?
It was extremely difficult. Channing Tatum, I love Channing Tatum. He is so good. He treated me so well, treated me like a real person, and really tried to get into my mannerisms and the way I talked and the way I thought. His personality in the film is my in-season personality. I had a different personality off-season. And he gets it down perfect. And Dave is portrayed by Mark Ruffalo, and he is uncanny. He's so good. Steve Carell is so startlingly different, and he's so good. Those three actors turned in career best performances, and the critics agree with me. I agree with them. Maybe that's a better way to say it. It was very difficult. It was hard on me. It was hard on the actors. Channing had to, and Mark had to go through 7 months of wrestling training with world-class wrestlers. Steve Carell had to spend 3 hours before a day getting his makeup on before anybody else got there, and nobody talked to him because he was so repulsive and off-putting, like the real DuPont was. And it was hard on Bennett Miller. Bennett Miller spent 8 years getting this film made. He was in a lawsuit at one point because he wouldn't release it unless he had it exactly the way he wanted. And he just did a whole lot of research, a ton of research, you know, into characters and events, you know, outside of my autobiography that he included in the film. You know, like DuPont's relationship with his mother, for example. I didn't really know much about his relationship with his mother until I saw the film. So, I read Channing Tatum's portrayal of me. he's so athletic. He's so talented. He's like the Swiss Army knife of actors. He can do comedy, drama. He can do action. He can do romance. And he can do anything. He's so talented. And he has dyslexia, like my brother Dave. And dyslexics are actually more intelligent. One time I gave Channing 2 paragraphs to memorize for us, an elementary school speech he was giving as me. And he repeated back the entire 2 paragraphs to me, word for word. And I was stunned. He was so, he's got a mind like a steel trap. He's really, he can't really read very well because his dyslexia, it one side of your brain never takes dominance. But, you know, there's one side of your brain that's logical and one that's creative. Right. And then dyslexics, they benefit from both sides. And most dyslexics, if you ask them, will not trade their dyslexia for anything. And he just has a very high emotional quotient.
Foxcatcher opens on December 19th in our region, and there's going to be a preview on Sunday. That's December 14th at 12 o'clock at Spectrum 8 in Albany. And you will be on hand for a Q&A following the screening with the proceeds benefiting the Journeyman Wrestling Club. And this is what you've been doing of working on these clubs, both in wrestling and jiu-jitsu. What kind of questions do you get at events like this after people have seen the film?
Well, probably the number one, one of the most common questions I get is, what do you want to see come out of this film and your book? And the answer is, I want my brother Dave to be immortalized.
Do you think he will be?
He is right now.
What I think is great about it is you get to tell the story in your terms.
Yes, well, I told the story in my terms, and Bennett Miller told the story in his terms. And, that's that.
The name of the movie is Foxcatcher. The name of the book is also Foxcatcher, the true story of my brother's murder, John DuPont's madness, and the quest for Olympic gold. It is the story that inspired the motion picture. Foxcatcher opens on December 19th. There will be a preview this Sunday, December 14th at 12 o'clock, with proceeds benefiting the Journeyman Wrestling Club, where Mark Schultz will be doing a Q&A following the screening. And you can find out more by going to spectrum8.com. Spectrum8.com. Mark Schultz, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Foxcatcher. The book is published by Dutton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.